Welcome back to the 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show. My name is Wayne Kimmel, managing partner of 76 Capital. And as you know, 76 Capital is a venture capital company that invests in passionate, smart, and nice entrepreneurs who are truly changing the overall sports, media, and entertainment industry. And on this show, I get to interview incredible entrepreneurs, athletes, and executives across the whole sports industry. And you can subscribe to our show on YouTube, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and on our 76 Capital website. Definitely subscribe. Subscribe to our newsletter as well, This Week in Sports Business. You'll love all the things that we do. Really proud of what our team puts out every single week across the internet. Now, today, I have a really special guest on our 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show. His name is Brian Litvak. He's the CEO and co-founder of League Apps. League Apps is helping leaders bring youth sports to kids and communities everywhere. Brian, welcome to our 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show.
Thank you for having me, Wayne. Longtime listener, first time on the show. So excited to be here. As we've recently connected, one of our first five customers over a decade ago is a mutual connection. So I've heard about you for a long time, and it's exciting to be on this show today.
Well, I mean, you know, that's just, it's a perfect way to start. I mean, Bobby D, you're referring to, Bobby Downing from Delaware, one of my brother's closest friends, very close family friend of ours, has told me so many amazing things, not only about League Apps, but you personally and the business overall. And I know one of the things we were just talking about before we get started is it was really about League Apps and the values behind it, the things that really make League Apps what it is today across the sports industry. Maybe you want to start off, we'll start off talking a little bit about some of the values and importance of that in your business.
Sure. I appreciate you asking that question. We had a sports operator from Alabama in our office. And the thing we spoke about is how much passion people who operate and run sports organizations have for what they do. Bobby D is a great example of that. And it is, while it, is, it can be a business or is an industry, and there's more and more reports of how much kind of the economy of youth and local sports is, it certainly is passion driven. And almost everyone who operates youth sports has a very explicit kind of hero story of how they got involved and why they got involved. So from we at League Apps also believe we are sports operators and organizers. We do that in software and technology more than being on the field with cones and whistles. But from the very start, we had a strong mission to create amazing sports experiences for all, which is, I believe, very aligned with the mission of the sports organizations and operators that utilize League Apps to power their workflow and their organization and their operations. And with a strong mission around making sports available for all, we wanted to create values that connected back to not just that mission, but why we love sports. So as soon as our team got large enough where we weren't all sitting next to each other, we felt the imperative, our need to put this stuff down on paper. So me and my partner, Jeremy, spent a few days or a few meetings trying to figure it all out. And at first, I think our values were very generic and sounded like, you know, a mix between Amazon and Apple and Google. And then we said, no, we're a youth sports company. We need to have values that tie back to sports. So our values, which was created afterwards, spell out sports dog. You'll see a few of the sports dog, you know, paraphernalia behind me. But that stands for sportsmanship, passion, openness, results, team, student in the game, difference maker, own your role, and grit. And we'll use those values every Thursday at our all hands meetings where we're shouting each other out. We have the Sports Dog Value Awards at the beginning of each year where we're recognizing the team members. It's almost like a mini Oscars, the team members that best exemplify those values. They'll be on a committee throughout the year. And then I think more importantly, in interviewing and onboarding, more importantly, every day, when we don't have the data or the evidence of a decision to be made, we'll often rely on the values to help guide us. And we'll also use our values as a way to create standards of how we behave and act to each other. I tell most of our new team members in the first 30 days, you really won't figure everything out to be a difference maker or own your role, but you'll realize if these are the things that you like. And the team members at League Apps I think, who do the best and perform well are the ones who just naturally believe that, you know, the things that we value, the behaviors that we value, are things that are important to them. And it's not just for our team, it's also for our customers, which we call partners, and everyone we have relationships with. So I think culture changes over time, based on, you know, different set of circumstances or factors, or whether you're in the office or not, or the size of your team. But hopefully those values are this kind of bedrock foundation to who we are and what we do at League Apps.
Well, you know, I think that's so important. It's so important to have these core values to really bring together teams, and it truly brings, you know, I believe brings success to businesses. I'd love to hear from you, you know, your entrepreneurial journey, how you started this business, why you started this business. I mean, what was the thing that sort of said, like, wait a second, you know, we really could use, the sports industry could really use a way to keep track of everything that goes on across leagues and teams, and allow, you know, all the administrators that across these teams, the coaches and the parents all come to sort of one place to make it all happen.
Yeah. So a big insight we had over a decade ago is that there's a few people within every community who make sports happen, who care more than everybody else about doing all the things from registration and team creation and field location and permitting and messaging and getting referees to actually create the sports experience. And these people often didn't have the tools that they needed to do something that's really complex. They're almost like mini concert producers that are all over town running around, making sure the events happen, making sure that like a safe, a responsible environment for sports is being created. They have to worry about weather, and they have to worry about permits, as I mentioned, and like, you know, parents who are very exuberant sometimes. So we saw the ability to create tools to help them do the things that they need to do to live out their passions and create these sports experiences. And at the same time, we recognized is if we wanted to have the most impact in communities around how they organize and experience sport, that the best way to do it would be through these operators or through these organizers. So in any community across America, you know, there's a handful of people, a few dozen at most, who are responsible for a lot of the sports that happen in that community. And oftentimes you go town to town and the sport cultures can be a little bit different. You know, you go from a community that values baseball to one that has lacrosse, that one where kids don't really play, to another town where it's all club and travel teams and more facilities. So we saw these sports operators as the key to get to have the most impact and influence in how youth sports is organized and experienced. And we think there's around 100,000 youth, there's no great data on this, about 100,000 youth sports organizations in the US for team sports. So that means there's a few hundred thousand people that look at themselves and identify as people who make sports happen and operate sports organizations. And we really saw the ability to partner with them as the way that we can have the most impact in helping to create amazing sports experiences for all.
So like, what was that one magical thing that when you were able to give to one of these organizers and they're like, oh my God, thank you. Like, this was amazing because now I can do what, like, is there one thing that they're able to like say, like, this is, it just made my life so much easier.
Yeah. There's a lot of features that we build that would be uninteresting to everyone in the world, except for the people who have to organize and operate sports. So, you know, we have something called Invite to Join, which is if you're running tryouts and then kids make the team and then you automatically want to send that notification along with the invoice to the parent, that all happens seamlessly. That is like saves hundreds of hours and heartache and time. We've been told many times the last thing a sports operator wants to do is go around chasing parents for uncollected funds for kids' sports programs. So we try to make that as automated and seamless as possible. But, you know, as you mentioned, Bobby D, he was one of we started actually with adult sports. We had built a social network for adults to communicate and play with each other. And then what we saw was that these operators or the super users of our platform. So I think shortly after we launched the platform, there was a day, it was an organization actually in Philadelphia, and they must have processed 20 grand in one day. And, you know, we calculated our cut and we said, wow, this is going to work. You know, we have a platform that, you know, if we do, if it does everything it's supposed to do, we'll process payments, we'll make a little cut of that. And there's real value here. So I think we're up to over $5 billion later. Still have very much the same business model and the same value proposition that we provide to those sports operators, and continuously are trying to figure out more ways where we can not just be valuable to them, but their community, their coaches, parents, players that participate within their programs.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. I mean, I think that's, you know, where you've really started to taking the business today, about how it can be more valuable to more people across the youth sports industry, and quite frankly, just how much the youth sports industry has grown and is growing. I mean, it's really amazing to see just the amount of participation that there is in youth sports, how important it is to communities, the kids themselves, the coaches, the parents. You know, just like it's such a big part of life movement today. But you know, where do you see it all going on your end?
We could spend the next 5 hours and the next 5 weeks just talking about youth sports. As you mentioned, we believe it is a true pillar within communities. Sometimes the soccer field or the baseball field is the only place in town where people congregate or coalesce around and see each other. A lot of youth sports and sports mirror society, and a lot of the trends in youth sports, I think, are very tied to, you know, just societal trends. There's always been a lot of passion and a lot of time dedicated or devoted to youth sports. I think over the last generation, it's also been a lot of dollars, so that parents are more willing and more freely spending to create opportunities for their kids to have good experiences. And that could be social and emotional learning, that could be more competitive. I think it starts at a young age where, you know, there's more classes around, you know, mommy and me or speech or physical activity. And then there's definitely more sports programming for kids 2 to 6 years old. And then it evolves as kids develop. And as I mentioned, that term social emotional learning, I really think became more popular for sports during COVID, which was an interesting time for our business, but a time where in many communities, sports came back and started programming even before schools did, and where parents and I think community leaders really recognized that there's a true development and educational value to providing quality sports programming, that there's lessons to be learned and development to be had that you don't always get in school or you know, other walks of life, which is really unique and special about sports. So while it's, you know, fun and sometimes can be competitive, it also is this awesome experience that I think many people develop skills or traits that they'll bring with them throughout their entire life. I often joke that most people in our company wake up and look in the mirror and think they're going to play in game 7 of the playoffs or run a marathon, and then they're sitting in front of two large monitors, you know, for 8 hours with bad posture building software. But it's this experiences they have playing sports that like actually give them an athlete mindset, that actually give them the ability to handle things like, you know, adversity and competition and practice and different life skills that can be applied to business or other areas of their life. That really is one of the things that makes sports special. You know, sports has been a very local, youth sports has been a very locally organized activity. So there's not much uniformity. There are governing bodies and associations, but there's still kind of standards vary. So you go to different communities and you try to kind of piece together how youth sports works. And it's a, you know, a hodgepodge of, you know, almost the term grassroots just kind of grew. And we think that software, technology, and data can have a lot of influence and impact on all different aspects of that youth sports experience, from things like accessibility to accountability, safety, and standards, to, you know, more engagement through different types of technology tools. We talk about, you know, Diamond Kinetics is a company that, you know, continues to blow me away with the ways that they're impacting the experience of how kids will, you know, experience a game of baseball, which, you know, needs to modernize and be aligned with, you know, the things that kids are expecting now when they do any type of activity, which is more gamification, which is more data, which is more, you know, constant engagement. So I think we want to solve the utility aspect for the operators and the parents, but we really want to believe that we have the ability and the influence to solve all different aspects of the future of how youth sports is operated and also experienced, and that it's pretty critical and important for the next generation to have positive sports experiences that they'll bring with them throughout their lives and hopefully pass down to the next generation.
Yeah, completely agree with you. I mean, it's amazing what's happening. And then you look at from a youth sports perspective, and now the incredible, you know, it's almost like this meteoric rise of women's sports now, and having someone like Caitlin Clark out there. I mean, I'm sure that someone like her has actually, she's actually been someone that's really helped spur on the girls' side of a lot of your business.
So first, she's awesome to watch and fun to watch. 42% of the registrations on our platform are female. And I'm excited. I think that will get to 50% pretty soon. So if you look in communities, girls' sports is already thriving, not just in some of the traditional sports, but lacrosse and volleyball, ice hockey, soccer. Girls, I think opportunities to play sports, I don't have the kind of data there, but I think continue to evolve in good ways and in positive ways. And the accessibility for sport for females, I think, is as good as at any point in history. So I'm looking forward to it being almost completely even over the next generation, where whether you're a girl or a boy, you'll have the same opportunity to play sports. And that's important for our platform to help enable, but I think for, again, for society as a whole. So I think part of the proclivity and development of women's college and professional sports is because there are so many girls playing sports, and they're more interested in watching, you know, top performance of women than in generations in the past, where perhaps there wasn't as much participation. So I kind of see that continuing. I think more and more girls who play sports are going to grow up and have, you know, readily accessible and promoted female role models that they'll gravitate towards.
Yeah, I mean, I really appreciate you saying earlier and mentioning, you know, our portfolio company, Diamond Kinetics, and what they're doing on the baseball and softball side of the world. And I think that I'd love to get your views on just how technology in general is being used today on the field, and enabling, as you were saying earlier, enabling these youth, you know, sports players to kind of almost have the same kind of experience that their superstars are having on the professional side or the collegiate side of the world. But what are some of the things that you see from a technology perspective that are coming down the pike?
So there's two ways to solve that, or two ways to answer that. A big part of our business is B2B, where we're powering these sports organizations. And I believe they're going to use technology and data for improving the way that they provide sports experiences. So one is, you know, accessibility, like marketplaces for field space, or a better ability to bring on staff or referees or match teams together, or create more engaging experiences before and after the games, not just during the games. So I think the sports operators who have a lot of influence, and they're already starting to do this, are going to better engage their members, their parents and players and families by more, you know, doing more to digitally solve the challenges of making sports happen. I think then once they can get more on top of utility, then they can help drive the engagement. And I think engagement in youth sports today is going to be much more reliant upon, you know, interesting and new technologies than in the past. Part of that is because kids are more used to doing that, right? They have more screen time, whether it's good or not. They're kind of, that's, you know, what they've been trained to do. So I think it's important. We talk a lot about how esports has taken a lot of the best aspects of sports and applied it to video games, including the name. But they have tournaments, they have teams, they have they make new boards or levels or new challenges as soon as, like, you know, they have data on what's the most interesting. So they've barred all this aspects of sports, and I think it's time for esports to take some of that stuff back from esports and utilize it to create more engaging experiences. So how can you get more data on what the most interesting parts of, you know, a youth baseball practice is, and, you know, start to encourage or train more coaches and more organizations on this is, you know, this is how you can retain your players longer. This is how more kids will play a sport like baseball longer, because you have more interactivity, you have more connectivity, you have the ability to help them, you know, get their highlights, and then they could go home and they can mash it up or, you know, post them on social, so that, like, the sports experience doesn't just come and go when you're on the field, but is before, during, and after. So I think kids understand data today in a way that generations in the past haven't. So wearables, I believe, will become more and more prevalent in all sports. The data will become a bigger part, that the content creation will become a bigger part. And that, you know, at the end of the day, there is still, like, an aspect of you're getting offline and having a sweat and getting endorphins and dopamine and still, like, enjoying physical activity, which is, you know, we've made a conscious effort to stick to movement and stick to physical sports because we think there's an aspect of health and wellness that goes along with it that you know, excites us to help promote.
Well, Brian, one of the things we do on our 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show is certainly we want to hear a little bit about you, about your background and where you grew up and what sort of may have led you to where you are today. So share with us a little bit of, you know, where'd you grow up, where'd you go to high school, college, et cetera.
Sure. I'm from Long Island. I live there now. I batted 227 in high school, so, you know, safely above the Mendoza line. But my whole life, or my whole childhood, I love sports. I was obsessed with sports. I think it was a big part of my identity. I played every sport until I wasn't good enough. I never thought of the idea of, like, quitting the sport. And then I followed sports closely as well. And I went to the University of Michigan in part because I wanted to go to a school that, you know, had a rich sports tradition. And along the way, man, I'm going to make myself feel old, but my freshman year, I think, was the first year that dorms had, like, internet or ethernet at the time it was called. So I got real into the web and started building websites and built a college basketball website that was really fun to just try things out and seeing people, you know, in different areas writing in and reading some of the content I was creating. And that led to a job in California for a company out of school called Official College Sports Network, which was the provider of college sports websites for hundreds of schools, in many ways similar to what we're doing for youth sports organizations now. And College Sports Network, it was out, it also happened to be out in San Diego, so I got to live on the beach while I went out there and get away from Long Island for a few years and the cold of Michigan. Official College Sports Network ended up being acquired by College Sports Television, which was a cable network that got acquired by CBS. So I had very quickly and early in my career seen a few different transactions, seen kind of how M&A can work and kind of see the trajectory of how a small company turned into a large one in CBS, and really wanted to get into the startup world and wanted to get into digital and technology. I think this was 2007, 2008, and went to help start a company called SportsFight, which was a social network to connect people to play sports. This is even before mobile. And we ran SportsFight for a few years. And really, the mission of SportsFight was the same: create amazing sports experiences for all. And that ultimately turned into, you know, a version of League Apps. Then, and League Apps, you know, quickly we went into the youth sports market when we realized how kind of large and growing and how much that had evolved and how much of a need there was, and have been building that company for our company for over a decade. So I've been fortunate to work in an industry that I am passionate about and that I love. And you know, when people ask how do you have the persistence to stick with something, we're really over 14 years now. A big part of it is every time I talk to someone who operates sports, I get a little giddy. I see how much they love what they do. So even when I'm getting yelled at because a feature didn't work or something, you know, a payment to get refunded, it's almost like a gym teacher, you know, teaching you a lesson for the better. I think, you know, I have a lot of admiration for people who have such passion for something that they're making it their livelihood. Are they using all, if they're in case of volunteers, they're using all of their free time to devote to it. So it's a fun space to be in. It ties together wellness and health and education and sports and community in a way that you know, I think I always felt good about. I think during COVID, which was a hard time for everyone in esports, even recognized the kind of importance and imperative it has for the health of communities.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know, it's so obvious to hear from, you know, your voice, your expressions, how much you love what you do. I love that you have, you know, the such important values behind, you know, League Apps and all the things, and making sure that everyone has those kind of values inside of your business. I have to ask, I mean, was there a mentor, or was there someone, a parent or someone that inspired you and is the one that really got behind you that has enabled you to, you know, get to where you are today as a leader?
Sure. You know, I know you commented on my office, but behind there is an article from my grandfather, Saul Litvak, who came to the U.S. as an orphan through Ellis Island at 4 years old and ended up starting and running a shoe factory in Brooklyn that my father then ran. So I came from a family of entrepreneurs. So in one sense, I always wanted to be entrepreneurial. My older sister is 2 years older than me. And out of college, started working in sports. And I think that was the first time it hit me where you could actually make this a career. I figured I would go work on in finance, or I was in the business school at Michigan. So between wanting to be entrepreneurial and recognizing that you could have a career in sports, I think those were two big influences that allowed me to kind of pursue this path. And I remember when I wanted to go into the early stage startup world, leaving CBS, I kept on saying, well, I don't have to be in sports. And then I thought how boring and uninteresting it would be if I'm not. So, you know, I'm a big vertical SaaS, which is, you know, a software for a particular industry. And I keep on thinking, would I be a big vertical SaaS person if I was, you know, software for HVAC units or software for, plumbers? But being software for youth sports, I think, has given me kind of such energy and conviction that it is a really great way to spend your time and your livelihood. I often like to tell all those other Bobby D's and people who operate in organized sports, you know, I am one of those as well. I like to believe I've talked to as many sports operators in the U.S. as just about anyone in the world. But we're doing it through technology and software and data, kind of the geeky way. But partnering with those that are actually on the ground to help make sports happen.
Brian, this is amazing, and I wish you the best of luck and your whole team at League Apps, and I love what you have on the, you know, the front of your website about this idea of just bringing youth sports to kids and communities everywhere. I mean, that's what it's all about. That's so important for young people, communities, for the professional leagues as well. I know that, you know, we didn't even get into this in your conversations, but Major League Baseball is a partner of yours, and, you know, what you're doing, you know, with young people and, you know, in getting them involved in sports at an early age, hopefully them having a great experience. That's just good for the whole overall sports ecosystem. So thanks for everything that you do. And I really appreciate you joining us on our 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Wayne. Look, anyone can get involved in youth sports. You can go volunteer. You know, if you're a parent or a grandparent, you can, you know, help your child enjoy it. Don't worry about if they're going to be pro or not, just to make sure they have a good experience. And, you know, we want to make sure sports continues to thrive in our society, in our culture, and we need a lot of help, and we just want to be part of the solution. So look forward to working with you and everybody else out there to help make sports happen.
That's awesome. We'll keep making it happen, Brian. Really appreciate it. And it was awesome having you on the show.
Take care, Wayne.